Proverbs chapter 13, let's all read together on verse number 10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Father, thank you for the wisdom in your word, Lord, and just in that verse. And I pray you'll help us to learn tonight and grow and just draw closer to you. Meet with us, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
If you're one who gives a title to the notes that you take, the title of tonight's Bible study is The Fruit of Pride. The Fruit of Pride. The Bible speaks of fruit bearing in many places. For example, in creation, everything brought forth after his kind. Paul said, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Hosea said, for they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. And Jesus said, for with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. So the Bible tells us that there is a result, there is a fruit, there is a repercussion that comes from an action that we might do. And of course, pride also has a fruit as well. And Solomon said that there was a fruit that pride bears. Look, if you would please, once again at Proverbs 13 and verse 10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Going to focus on the first part of that tonight, obviously. Only by pride cometh contention. The fruit of pride is contention. Let me say it again. The fruit of pride is contention. And I want you to look at something on that particular verse. Look at the little word only that is found there. Does that speak to anybody tonight about what it's talking about? It says the only thing that pride can produce is contention. Only by pride cometh contention. And so the Hebrew structure of the verse shows clearly that there are at least two truths taught in the first part of the verse. These are the two truths. Number one, it is pride that causes contention. Let me say it again. It is pride that causes contention. And secondly, contention is the only fruit of pride. How do we know that? From the little word only. And I happen to be one who believes that every word in the Bible is important, and it's there on purpose, and it's there with a purpose. And the word only simply says that contention is the only fruit that pride produces. And it's on these two truths that I want to build this Bible study tonight. So, first of all, very simply, number one, if you're taking notes, and that is it, it is pride that causes contention. It is pride that causes contention. Whatever contention is, pride is the cause of it. So whatever contention is, by its definition, pride's the cause of it. Now, what does the word contention mean? You might want to write this down, just so that you have some clarity. The word contention means two things, strife and to quarrel. It means strife and to quarrel. In a literal sense, it means to fight and argue. Often with a bitter exchange of words and even blows at times. That's an amazing thing. All that's included in the word contention. Let me say it again. It means to strife or to quarrel, but it also means to fight and argue. It means that often with a bitter exchange of words, and sometimes it results in blows going from one person to another. And we know that the Bible gives us examples. Let me give you a few of those examples. In Exodus 2:13, it will be like the two Hebrews that are mentioned there. It says, and when he went forth in verse 13 on out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? So here you're talking about a striving, and you're talking about somebody got hit. You strove with him, and you struck him. The second one would be like the two Israelites, and that's found in Leviticus chapter 24 and verse 10. It says, and the son of an Israelitish woman whose father was an Egyptian went out among the children of Israel, and this son of the Israelitish woman and a man of Israel strove together in the camp. So there you find the contention again. But what was it that brought about the contention? Bible says it was pride somewhere along the line caused that. like the two brothers that are found in 2 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 6. The Bible says, "And thy handmaid had two sons, and they two strove together in the field, and there was none to part them, but the one smote the other and slew him." So all this is contained in this thing of their striving together, this arguing together, this coming to blows together. And the Bible says that he even slew him. And so we find here that this striving, this arguing, this fighting can end up in the death of another individual if it got serious like that. And according to Proverbs 13:10, pride is the cause of quarreling. See, Pastor, that's pretty narrow. Well, it is narrow, yes, but it's what the Bible says. Only by pride cometh contention. And God wrote what he meant and meant what he wrote. And so pride is the cause of quarreling, and it is not speaking of disagreements over right and wrong. We're not talking about that, though I think probably it can come to that. We're talking here about a quarrelsome spirit. And I've written down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things that are not points that I'm going to exaggerate or going to continue to talk about. But first of all, I put down it's pride that causes families not to get along with one another. It is pride that causes families not to get along with one another. Secondly, it is pride that causes siblings not to get along with each other. It is pride that causes siblings not to get along with each other. Thirdly, it is pride that causes husbands and wives not to get along with each other. It is pride that causes husbands and wives not to get along with each other. Next, it is pride that causes grandparents not to get along. You know, people, they talk about getting old and getting bitter and becoming a crusty old man or a crusty old woman and mad and angry about different things. Well, the Bible says it's pride that causes them not to get along. And lastly, it's pride that causes church families not to get along too. All these things are because why? Because pride, the Bible says, is the root of contention. Somewhere along the line, there is pride. And this thing called pride can be a very evil thing. They say pride is one of those things that put you up on a pedestal and knock you down at the same time. This kind of pride has the company of the following. And this is something interesting that I found in this study. Pride has companions. Did you know that? And I want to show you the companions of pride. First of all, wrath. W-R-A-T-H. Proverbs 21 and verse 24. Proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. We read it again. Proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. So wrath is one of the companions of pride. Secondly, shame is a companion of pride. Proverbs 11 and verse 2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Let me read it again. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Another companion of pride is stubbornness. Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse 12. The Bible says, and the man that will do presumptuously and will not hearken unto the priest that standeth to minister there before the Lord thy God, or unto the judge, even the man shall die, and thou shalt put away the evil from Israel. So we're talking about somebody who refused to listen. He's got stubborn. Meeting the judge, or the Bible says he would do presumptuously and would not hearken to the priest, and so he would not listen to the Lord. So we're talking stubbornness. The next companion is called boasting. And it's Obadiah, and chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Pride is boasting is part of it. And something else, also in Jeremiah 49 and verse 16, it says, thy terribleness hath deceived thee, and the pride of thine heart, O thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, that holdest the height of the hill, though thou shouldest take thy nest as high as an eagle, I will bring thee down from thence, saith the Lord. So we're talking about boasting here as a companion of pride. And then something else here, I'll give you one more. In Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 22, an arrogant spirit. That's an interesting one, I think. An arrogant spirit. It says in Deuteronomy 18:22, when a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, and thou shalt not be afraid of him. So an arrogant spirit spoke in God's face when God didn't say it, and he giving his own word and rather than the word of God. And it's no wonder that Proverbs 13:10 simply says that it causes contention. Pride causes contention. And it's only by pride comes contention. So we'll get that one out of the way with. And then I want to show you number two tonight. Contention is the only fruit of pride. Contention is the only fruit of pride. I said I was going to take these two lessons here. And we were going to teach just on those two points, which of course is what we're doing. And those two points I gave you was, it is pride that causes contention, and secondly, contention is the only fruit of pride. So I'll take you there. When people get proud, the fruit that is always produced is contention. No one likes to be around a proud person. It causes a tension between them and that individual who's boasting or who's arrogant or whatever it might be. It's no fun to be around them at all. No one gets along with a proud person, not even another proud person. I'm going to say it again. No one gets along with a proud person, not even another proud person. Think about Korah, Dathan, and Abiram are probably the clearest illustrations that we can find in the Old Testament that show the contention that pride produces. When you go back and you learn those, that's Numbers chapter 16. We're not going to go there tonight, but I'll give you the reference so you can read it on your own about Korah and Dathan and Abiram. And they caused all kinds of contention with their own pride. In the New Testament, the disciples are the prime example. You see, the disciples? Of all things, yes. And the Bible says in Luke 22 and verse 24, and there was also a strife among them. Well, but what were they striving about? You already know, don't you? It says that which of them should be accounted the greatest. So pride stepped in, and there was a strife among the disciples of all things. Can you imagine how the Lord must have felt about this? His own disciples just fighting over who's going to be the greatest, arguing, being contentious over who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of all things. And I've written down five statements that I want to make. This kind of arrogant pride will tear a home apart. This kind of arrogant pride will tear a home apart. Secondly, this kind of arrogant pride will split a church. This kind of arrogant pride will split a church. Thirdly, this kind of arrogant pride will destroy a friend relationship. This kind of arrogant pride will destroy a friend relationship. Next, this kind of arrogant pride will turn children away from the Lord. This kind of arrogant pride will turn children away from the Lord. And the last one I wrote down is this kind of arrogant pride will accomplish nothing good for God. This kind of arrogant pride will accomplish nothing good for God. Just gets in the way. Why? Because it's only by pride cometh what? Contention. That word only, that's the thing that sticks out in my mind. It is pride. It's like somebody says, what's the root of all evil? The love of money. Now, when I look at the word all, in that verse, it's pretty inclusive, isn't it? For the love of money is the root of all evil. And here we have, this says that only by pride cometh contention. Here's what I've learned through the years, and you probably have already learned the same lesson, but it takes two people to quarrel. It takes two people. When Brother Penn and I were in Argentina, we found out what it means. It takes two to tango. Because just about every street corner that we were walking past in Buenos Aires, Argentina, there was somebody there with a big boombox and a hat laying on the ground and a man and a woman doing the tango. and it takes two people to tango. And because you get to thinking about that, what an incredibly sensuous dance that is. But can you imagine one person doing the tango without a partner? It draws an incredibly funny picture in your mind. Well, it may take two to tango, but it also takes two to tangle. Ralph McGill wrote these words, which I think are pretty appropriate. In matters controversial, my prescription's mighty fine. I always see both sides of things, the one that's wrong and mine. I heard the phrase the other day, says, if I want your opinion, I'll give it to you. That's pretty arrogant, if you ask me. So here's an interesting closing illustration that you might not only find humorous, but also convicting. I'm going to read it. A want ad appeared in a newspaper which read, wanted 3,000 frogs. A farmer on whose land was a mill pond replied to the ad, says, come with a truck, you're going to need it. My pond is teeming with frogs. Well, how disappointed both the buyer and the farmer were. After a diligent effort, they only found 3 frogs. And looking dejectedly at the catch, the farmer said, from the noise they made, you'd have thought there were thousands of frogs in that pond. Yeah, arrogant pride. A lot of noise, not a whole lot to it. Bombastic boastfulness comes from those who are full of pride and arrogance. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 30. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by my might and my power and for the honor of my majesty? Arrogant pride. And how different it is with the truly great ones who say what John once said of Christ and of himself. John chapter 1 and verse 27. And by the way, what did Jesus say about John the Baptist? There was never a man born of woman that was greater than him. Now, by the way, John the Baptist did no miracles. Not a single one is recorded of John the Baptist. But Jesus said nobody's greater than him. But here's what John the Baptist said in John 1:27. He it is whose coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. I'm not even worthy, he said, to untie his shoe. Interesting. Truly big things in God's creation are silent. Let me give you 4 illustrations. With the coming of spring, life-giving sap rises noiselessly on a barren tree. You don't ever hear it. Refreshing dew falls silently on the grass at night. And with the coming of a new day, the sun rises silently, bringing light and warmth to an awakening earth. And the voice of the indwelling Holy Spirit is a still, small voice. Interesting, isn't it? Truly big people in God's creation are also silent, not presumptuous. F.G. Key wrote these words, and we know these words by heart. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss. And what? Pour contempt on all my pride. Isaiah 30 and verse 15 says, for thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in returning from rest ye shall be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And you would not. It's interesting how the Bible emphasizes certain things that we de-emphasize in our lives. Well, like I said at the very beginning of the study tonight, I'm just more or less preaching to the choir tonight. I know that. But you know, every now and then, even the best of us get caught up in our own pride, don't we? I don't think any of us are exempt. That's for sure. And so tonight, I wanted you to see the source of contention in every area. Now, I'm not talking about disagreeing with someone or quarreling with someone over right and wrong. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about correcting someone who's wrong in doctrine. I'm not talking about that, and I think you realize that. I'm talking about people just don't get along with one another. and things that should never be among God and should not be named among the people of God. Because it's only by pride cometh contention. But what did the rest of the verse say? It said, but with the wise, with wisdom, with the well advised, there's wisdom. I guess that means a well advised individual is teachable, not quarrelsome, you see, and can learn. And can learn to disagree agreeably, just as they should. So that's the Bible study for this evening. Only by pride cometh contention. And the Bible study was simply entitled, The Fruit of Pride. The Fruit of Pride.